From the Song of Songs, we read, "For see, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone." Hello again. Today is the first day of winter, so it is ironic that in the first reading from the Song of Songs, we hear that the winter is past when it really has just begun. Of course, the phrase "winter is past" is meant metaphorically and not meteorologically. Liturgically speaking, the church is announcing the end of the waiting for the Messiah. That is to say, we are nearing the end of Advent, and soon we will be celebrating Christmas. Like Mary and Elizabeth in today's gospel, we are pregnant with hopes for joy. The visitation scene represents the grace-filled encounter of these two pregnant women, one bearing in her aged womb the prophet John the Baptist, and the other bearing in her virgin womb the Messiah. How often when we pray the Hail Mary do we repeat Elizabeth's welcoming words, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Next to the link of today's homily is a link to a picture that I believe captures their joy as Mary and Elizabeth joyfully greet one another. Yes, folks, as we approach Christmas, today's gospel evokes a beautiful scene of Mary and Elizabeth, two pregnant women, greeting one another as icons of pregnant joy. This past October, my family experienced such joy when my niece Fiona announced that she was pregnant. Fiona, however, had a unique way of announcing her and her husband Robin's joyful news. You see, during a family reunion in California, when she and her siblings, parents, and grandparents were posing for a photo, just before they snapped the photo, as they were shouting the customary "cheese," Fiona shouted, "I am pregnant." Immediately, her family registered their surprise and suddenly shouted for joy. After they had hugged and kissed Fiona and Robin, they lined up again for a photo and again started their pose of smiles, shouting, "cheese," when Fiona interjected, "I am pregnant with twins." Then her family entered into joyful laughter as they hugged and kissed this beaming pregnant woman and her husband. And all of their expressions are captured not just on photo, but on an iPhone video. The twin surprises have added to our family's joy. Often we have a tendency to confuse thrills with joy. Some of you may remember back in the 1960s, the program Wide World of Sports, introduced by the reporter Jim McKay with the iconic phrase, "the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat." Well, sports offers many thrills and agonies, but not necessarily joys. As a sports fan, I am thrilled when my sports team, such as the Phillies or the Eagles, win. Certainly, I was thrilled when the Phillies won the pennant this past fall, and I suffered with them when they endured the agony of losing to the Houston Astros in the World Series in 6 games. Despite the thrills, I would not categorize these feelings as ones of joy. I consider authentic joy in terms of what Ignatius of Loyola refers to as consolation, an emotion which is much deeper and implies my being engaged in a personal, decisive process. As a fan, I really do not have anything to do with whether my team wins or loses. The consoling joy about which Ignatius speaks involves having a broader perspective of an event, which implies having longer view of one's life. Such an attitude often involves the meaning of one's and overall purpose for a decisive decision. Such a decision and its resultant actions imply what I believe about life after death and the resurrection of Jesus. The Catholic spiritual writer Sidney Callahan explores joy within the context of suffering in her book Created for Joy, A Christian View of Suffering. Reflecting upon the traumatic experiences of her having lost her 4th son as a baby and the more recent death of her daughter-in-law while giving birth, Callahan searched for the meaning of such deaths and pondered the possibility of a divine plan that involves the afterlife. Callahan writes, quote, "Many who die in doubt and unbelief will be surprised by joy. They will feel amazed wonder at the love and truth they encounter. At last, they will be able to see and understand the evolving world and their role in the dream dramas of creation. To know and understand gives intellectual joy. All will see that a loving God does not send suffering, but rather intends the joyful flourishing of creation. Unquote. And then Callahan concludes, making reference to the medieval writer Julian of Norwich. She states, quote, "Slowly, growing up into Christ's fullness, human beings are infants who but dimly perceive the glory. Yet we see enough to trust that all will be well. All will be very well." Unquote. Many of you remember our former associate pastor, Father Paul Campbell. In a short video, he describes this joy of consolation within the context of the resurrection. The link may be found next to today's homily link. As Father Paul suggests, it is the joy of the resurrection which makes our lasting, consoling joy possible. Folks, as we enter into the cold and darkness of winter, today's readings invite us into the joy and warmth and enlightened love of God, to the joy of two pregnant women encountering one another. We can say that it was the joyful visitation of the pregnant Mary to the visiting the pregnant Elizabeth, which made the birth and life of Jesus possible. And so as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Mary's son, Jesus, let us recognize that our son's resurrection makes possible our hopes for joy in our own future resurrections. May you and your loved ones have a joyful Christmas.